Good morning, everyone. Dan Cassidy here, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. So today we are going to turn our focus back to the muni market and explore what is on the minds of muni investors as we get closer and closer to Election Day. We will also touch on some recent migration trends across the U.S., a near-term performance outlook for the muni space, and more. So joining me here on the line for the conversation, pleased to welcome back Kathleen McNamara. Kathleen is a senior municipal strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Kathleen, good morning to you. Welcome back to Top of the Morning, and looking forward to our conversation today.
Good morning, Dan, and as always, thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. And Kathleen, I know I'll cite up front to our listeners and especially our clients of UBS that our conversation this morning will tie into the most recent municipal market guide. I know you run lead on that piece on a monthly basis. The title for this edition is Measuring Migration, and that ties into the Spotlight article, which we'll dive into in a few moments. But perhaps as a starting point, Kathleen, I know Q4, it's well underway. So what should muni investors expect in terms of volatility leading up to the election and even post-election day?
Sure, Dan. I mean, now with fewer than 2 weeks to go before the presidential election, we anticipate higher volatility later this month and into November. I mean, not surprisingly, new issue supply is spiking higher in advance of the U.S. presidential election. We're seeing some planned bond issuances being pulled forward to avoid the election-related market volatility. At the same time, government bond yields have edged a bit higher, pulling munis along. So thus far, on a month-to-date basis, munis are posting a modest loss of about 0.3%, but, you know, on a year-to-date basis, the returns are still positive. The odds of Joe Biden winning the presidency have increased in recent weeks, as you already know, but the credibility of polling firms did take a hit in 2016, so we are reluctant to conclude that it's really over at this point. To the extent that former Vice President Biden does win, we view that as a positive development for the municipal market based on expectations of higher taxes that would drive demand for taxes and paper and more federal government support for municipal credit. That said, a degree of uncertainty surrounding the outcome of the election process clearly remains, and the municipal market often does not perform well in the face of uncertainty. The current scenario is apt to prove not an exception.
Kathleen, if we reflect back over the past few weeks since the beginning of the quarter, can you walk us through what demand has consisted of during that span in anticipation for what might be, in fact, a volatile market environment leading up to the election and even post the election?
Sure, Dan. I mean, in the midst of a very strong late spring and early summer for municipal bond market performance, as you may recall, we did witness robust inflows to muni mutual funds that spanned about 5 months. By mid-August, the technicals did start to weaken, and that is consistent with historical trends. Thereby, performance in the muni market softened, and we also saw demand for muni funds also slow. That said, more recently, it's interesting that in the first week of the first quarter, we witnessed an uptick in demand for muni mutual funds. I attribute that to the more supply in the market. Therefore, there were more opportunities for investors that were perhaps sitting on cash. We had very high redemptions in August, so some of the money was still, you know, sitting in cash looking for an opportunity. So I attribute that to this most recent uptick.
Thank you, Kathleen. So I actually have the publication up in front of me, the Muni Market Guide. If I scroll down to page 5, you spend a few moments outlining some muni-related portfolio themes as you do on a monthly basis. What are some themes from this most recent edition that you can share with us today?
Sure. In this month's edition of the Municipal Market Guide, we highlight three portfolio themes. The first is with respect to credit quality. At present, we continue to have a preference for an up in credit quality stance. We believe there is still a high degree of uncertainty with how the adverse economic impacts from COVID-19 play out in the muni market. And as more of an immediate concern, we still do not have clarity on the timing and amount of additional fiscal stimulus to state and local governments. This is very important for the state of municipal credit conditions going forward. The second theme that we highlight in the report is with respect to the yield curve. In our report, we identify where the best value is along the curve on an after-tax basis relative to corporate debt with the same credit ratings. Generally speaking, high-grade munis provide tax advantages on the short-dated bonds inside 3 years and again beyond 8 years. We now favor the 9-year to 15-year area of the curve for attractive roll-down benefits as well. By contrast, corporate debt appears to have a slight edge at the 3-year through 7-year maturity area, even after adjusting for taxes. And finally, our third theme is that we advocate that investors practice diversification. In this uncertain market environment, we recommend that investors diversify their portfolios along several dimensions. State, sector, single obligor, and maturity are examples. Diversification remains the best strategy for capital preservation in uncertain economic environments. Muni bond investors often have a lower tolerance for volatility, and we believe they should position portfolios to minimize downside risk. Bear in mind, CIO provides research coverage and credit scores for more than 500 obligors nationwide. The scores provide a useful guide for investors seeking diversification.
Thank you, Kathleen. So on a monthly basis, I know we like to spend some time on the podcast talking about the Spotlight article within the Muni Market Guide. So if I go down to page 8, the Spotlight is on Americans on the Move, as I alluded to a few moments ago. So what can you share with us there? It seems really interesting.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. I mean, we continue to receive many questions on the topic of interstate migration and its impact on state and local government credit. Therefore, we took the opportunity to revisit the subject in this month's Municipal Market Guide. We did examine the subject in the early part of 2019 after a Cato Institute study suggested that state income tax rates had a direct impact on population migration and the movement of household income around the country. In this month's edition of the Municipal Market Guide, we examined the data over a 4-year time period extending from 2015 through 2018 to determine whether the trends first identified in the Cato study have persisted. We concluded they have. Pre-COVID, we were seeing meaningful population shifts out of urban hubs into the lower tax Sunbelt states. Florida, Arizona, and the Carolinas are some examples. We now expect the pandemic to accelerate that exodus, and it may also benefit states like New Jersey and Connecticut in the short term, as we see employees who have worked at home for months deciding to move further away from New York, even after the virus outbreak subsides. In our report, we include data on an adjusted gross income basis in 2018, which is the most recent data available, and we conclude that New York, California, and Illinois saw the most out-migration. By contrast, low-destination states like Florida, Arizona, and Texas reap the highest gains. Idaho and South Carolina are benefiting as well as strong retirement destinations. The data suggests that American households are more likely to move towards jurisdictions with lower income tax rates, but we're compelled to remind our readers that other factors are likely to remain relevant. For example, a particular state's cost of living, access to amenities, job opportunities, as well as weather are important considerations for interstate migrants. The tax data, this is also important, the tax data doesn't capture the more recent impact of the pandemic, and any long-term demographic shift may take a considerable amount of time to create big differences in investment performance as well as in credit profiles. That being said, we do believe that investors will begin to focus more frequently on the concept of net migration in the selection of municipal credits. We recommend tilting national municipal bond portfolios in the direction of those states that are likely to benefit from net migration over the next decade.
Reading through the migration trends, it was very fascinating, so highly encourage our listeners to take a look at this month's Spotlight article. Maybe as a final question before we wrap up today, Kathleen, so as we look ahead to the balance of 2020, what's your performance outlook for munis?
Yes, well, as you can expect, the performance for the balance of the year largely hinges on the outcome of the election and the composition of Congress. I mean, in the meantime, we believe the municipal market will respond positively to the prospects of a Biden presidency. Higher personal income taxes will drive greater demand for tax-exempt securities, and the expectation of more intergovernmental aid would relieve some of the anxiety regarding the conditions of municipal credit. By contrast, in a status quo scenario, munis will not perform as well, reflecting less U.S. public finance-friendly policies. That said, to the extent we witness a bout of volatility in the weeks ahead, which is what we're expecting, we are compelled to remind investors that periods of uncertainty often represent buying opportunities, and we'd expect to see that again in the fourth quarter.
Well, Kathleen, it sounds like performance somewhat contingent on the outcome on Election Day. And next time we speak in November, I'm sure we'll have more clarity on that. So looking forward to our November conversation. Yeah, exactly. Anything can happen. But Kathleen, really appreciate the time and insight today and for walking us through the latest municipal market guide. Great catching up with you as always, Kathleen.
Thanks, Dan.
And again, this morning we have been joined by Kathleen McNamara, Senior Municipal Strategist for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Before we close out, as always, I do want to point out to our listeners and especially our clients, many publications and blogs available now for you up on UBS Online Services. And that those include the publication that Kathleen and I have been making reference to today, the Municipal Market Guide, Measuring Migration is the title for November. And again, that piece is now up on UBS Online Services. Though for UBS clients, simply reach out to your financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the Municipal Market Guide directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.